Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You'll hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
I want to talk to you about something, because we want the fullness of the gospel and we want the fullness of Christ in us. And so we cannot, you know, that's my hesitation is this morning about somebody who's visiting. You come in and this is what you saw this morning, and you may like it, dislike it, whatever, but you just get a snapshot of what it's about. See? And from that snapshot, we may get some truth, and then we add thoughts to it that may not be accurate. And so I want to give you another snapshot of what Jesus says and what he's like. Luke chapter 9, verse 21. While I'm doing this, Rachel, and we're waiting for people to turn there in their Bibles, could you bring that A Wonderful Cross up, please? Luke chapter 9, verse 21. This is what Jesus is saying now. He says, Jesus strictly warned them not to tell this to anyone, and he said, the Son of Man, the Son of God, the Messiah, the Christ, Jesus himself, must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life. Then Jesus said to them all, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. I want you to look up here. By the way, I didn't know we were singing this song this morning. A Wonderful Cross, A Wonderful Cross bids me come and die and find that I may truly live. I want to pause. Back to Scripture. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will save it. What good is it for a man to gain the whole world and yet lose or forfeit his own soul? If anyone is ashamed of me and my words, then the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his glory and in the glory of the Father and of the holy angels. I tell you the truth, some who are standing here will not taste death before they see the kingdom of God. A wonderful cross, a wonderful cross bids me come and die and find that I may truly live. Here's the wonderful paradox of the gospel, is that we all want life. And Jesus says the way that we find life is the way that he brings life to us. He was born, came from heaven, born to a virgin, lived life, and gave his life over as payment of humanity's sins, and then was raised back to life. So he lives. He knows the way to pass through death and hell and back to life. And for those who believe upon him, they shall go through the same passageway if he does not rapture first. So if we die, and those who have faith in him, we know him. He is what? The way, the truth, and the life. He knows the way. He made the way. He was the forerunner for us, that we could be saved. But through faith in him, we don't have to get the wages of our sin. So, the interesting thing is, we don't have to wait to die. Jesus is talking here in Luke chapter 9 about deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow him every day. Now, that's a bit of a gloomy statement if we just look at it and say, deny yourself and pick up your cross and follow him day after day. Well, have you ever read through the Gospels or some of the Gospels? I would say following Jesus was actually pretty fun and exciting. There were some rough days. point that Jesus is making is the point of self-abandonment, planned abandonment. Planned abandonment is going from whatever we're at, wherever we're at, in our own desires, our own wishes, and saying, I am going to abandon myself, and now I'm going to set my course to follow after Christ. And so I need to abandon myself or die to myself or deny myself to follow him. It does not mean I abandon myself and now I'm committed to a life of suffering and pain and no joy. And that's how people read it. But that is not what Jesus is saying. It is pick up your cross, and it sounds like, oh, the cross, that's like, you know, you die, and you die the death of a criminal. It's so vulgar and gross and explicit. It is. When we abandon ourselves, we put ourselves on that cross. And the reason he's saying carry it with us is it's not just this one-time deal. How many of you have discovered that when you repented of sin, you sinned again? Deny self, pick up this cross, and continually carry the mindset that I am dying to myself and the decision's been made, but I need reminders because I'm following him. Planned abandonment. We're in an age, obviously, of computers and technology. And in the computer world, you have something called a default whatever. Okay? Default printer. That it automatically goes to that printer unless you set it up to go to a different printer, right? Okay, this is real simple stuff. Those of you who don't understand that, I'm smarter than somebody with a computer. Now, I don't know how to change the default printer, but I just know it's possible. The default is when you do something, it automatically does it. There's default abandonment, and it's like this. All of a sudden, a politician who looks like a prime candidate resigns from office and goes into the private sector. And the reason that became default abandonment, that they sacrificed all their political dreams, is behind the scenes they were caught maybe in some kind of scandal. And now they know that their career could go no further, so they send out the publicity that says, I've decided not to do that. Thank you very much. I'm just going into the private sector, and you know, and we pretend that there's this joyous thing. That's a default abandonment. In other words, this ain't working out so well, and it's going to come to devastation, and you know what? If I get out now, I can still look pretty good. That's default abandonment. That's like saying, somebody has this choice now to continue to pursue their career and pour their life into it, or they should spend more time with their family, and they say, you know, I'm going to spend more time with my family. The reality is that opportunity no longer really afforded itself to them to go on, and so now they look noble by doing this. You and I, in the life that we live, we are afforded choices all the time. Opportunity, this say what you want about the economy and all that, but this is the land of opportunity. It's not the only land of opportunity, but we have opportunities all around us, all the time. And if we carry this cross with us, it reminds us, as we're following him, that we are to choose that, to go from that which is good to that which is better. From good to better, all the time. The tough thing is when we go from good to better, we're leaving good. And many times that disappoints people because there's a breaking away from that which was good, and many times it involves people and it involves maybe a lifestyle or relationships or whatever. You have to leave it to go on to something better, and that people don't always understand it. And sometimes it hurts people, and it leaves a gap. But isn't it amazing how gaps get filled? They do that because we're not the Messiah. we don't have a Messiah complex. And so we move from good to better according to the leading of God in our life. There's a man and a woman, they were married, and she had the misfortune of cancer striking her body to the point that this cancer progressed and the physicians in the medical world could do nothing more for her. They just gave her a few months to live. And the husband, as the story goes, this is a true story, the husband was with her in the hospital. And he finally worked up enough courage, because they've accepted the fact that she is going to die. And he said to her, he said, "What is it like to live life knowing that you're going to die?" With the hopeful understanding from his scope that when you know your days are numbered, you begin to go from good to better. You begin to choose differently if you know your days are numbered and the days are short, right? I mean, that's how we all think. And she propped up herself on her arm in response to his question, "How is it to live life knowing that you're going to die?" And she propped herself up on her arm and she looked at him and said, with a question, "What is it like for you to live life pretending that you're not going to die?" The change of priority, the change of focus, the things that are really important. When we come to the place and we believe upon Christ and we say, "I will plan to abandon myself, pick up my cross and follow him, to live according to the principles and the character and the transformation that he intends for us." It doesn't mean that every dream dies. He gives you new dreams. He may give you new goals. He may accomplish even more than the goal or the wish or the fantasy you had within yourself. He may do so much more than that. He may do something completely different. But it's the true expression of faith, more than dancing, to deny ourselves, to pick up our cross, that myself would die to it, and I would walk with that reminder every day, in a planned abandonment of my ways, that he could live in me, that I could live the life that Christ desires for us, for me. Why don't we stand up, please, all over this room? People throughout the scripture did it all the time. They planned an abandonment. When Elisha left his plow and followed Elijah, he left his natural plans. Mary had a responsibility, much like Martha's, to begin to work in the kitchen and prepare the meal. But she sat at Jesus' feet instead. She went from good to better. And Jesus commended her and said, "You have chosen that which is better." It hurt Martha. She didn't understand it. And there will be people around you who will not understand everything that you do as you pick up your cross and follow Christ. And we don't have to act noble or self-righteous with them. But we need to get on with that which is important according to Jesus, according to the kingdom of heaven. And so you and I need to be careful of routine. Routines are good. And the path that Jesus once led us down, he may have turned and went somewhere else. And we need to keep in step with his spirit, as the scripture says. But sometimes when we're just so used to something and now it's become our way, we just continue going. And we miss the Lord. And we wonder what happened because, well, here I am worshiping and here I am tithing and here I am professing Christ and we're doing some right things. But we need to deny ourselves every day. It's not just a one-time thing. It's a decision we make and the reminder we carry with us of who we're following. He knows the plans he has for you. It's not to harm you. It's to prosper you. It's to bring you hope. It's to bring you a future. That's his promise. That's his plan. That's his word to his people. How has life been living, pretending like your days are not numbered?
Thanks for joining us on the Lifecast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.